This is the Anderson Files on PodClip. The Anderson Files is a look at commerce, investment, economics, and retirement issues that affect each and every one of you. Your host is Mike Anderson, Executive Vice President, Retirement Services, and partner of Finestone Partners. Finestone Partners is an independent firm with securities offered through Four Point Capital. And now your host, Mike Anderson.
The financial side of mediation. Joining me today is Len Levy, Esquire, mediator and arbitrator, ADR Services, Inc. After 30 years of experience as a trial attorney trying complex business, construction, insurance, personal injury, products liability, and real estate cases, Len began resolving disputes as a mediator and arbitrator in 1998. As a mediator, Len explores the interests of the parties to achieve a resolution which maximizes all parties' satisfaction with the settlement. And he's known for his extraordinary patience, creativity, and tenacious pursuit of resolution. Len is a member of the panel of neutrals at ADR Services, one of the leading providers of alternative dispute resolution in California. The ADR Services panel is comprised of more than 130 of the most distinguished and talented neutrals across the state. Len has been selected as a super lawyer in alternative dispute resolution every year since 2014, and is a member of the National Academy of Distinguished Neutrals. Len, good morning. Welcome.
Good morning, Mike.
To start out, why would someone pursue mediation to begin with?
Mike, there's a financial aspect of why people pursue mediation, and there's also a satisfaction aspect of it. Starting with the latter, the satisfaction aspect of it, in a mediation, unlike arbitration, the parties are determining how best to advance their interests, as opposed to an arbitrator or a judge deciding this is how it's going to be. A judge or an arbitrator is going to decide who wins, who loses, how much gets paid. And if there's a solution that needs to be crafted, for example, in a family law setting, on visitation or things of that nature, the arbitrator is not going to necessarily take into account what everyone's best interests are, just what solution the arbitrator thinks is best. So that's the satisfaction aspect of it. The interests of the parties are advanced in the way the parties want to advance them. In a financial aspect of it, is it's basically cheaper. I mean, it is cheaper than pursuing litigation by leaps and bounds. The cost of preparing a case for trial or even for arbitration can be prohibitive, really, in relation to the size of the dispute. Or even when you're dealing with large disputes, the cost is sometimes extremely high. Six figures to try a case is pretty much going to be the norm. So in mediation, especially if it's done early enough so that the parties haven't spent a lot of money, they can mediate, they can see what possible solutions there might be without making the investment that they would have to make in a trial or arbitration setting.
Len, do you see situations where a party comes to you and you're assessing that perhaps even a mediation isn't necessary, as opposed to one that is necessary? Are there basic considerations to say, okay, this meets the threshold, this makes sense, this it will do justice to mediate?
In the sense that the party, if the parties can communicate directly with each other, then you are dealing with a situation where getting a third party neutral involved really isn't necessary. It used to be, when I started practicing law back in 1973, attorneys would actually call each other and say, can we settle this case? And what might be the best solution to get this thing resolved short of trial? But now the problem becomes one of communication. If the parties cannot communicate, the other considerations as to whether to mediate, whether there's a threshold to be met, really kind of goes by the wayside. Almost any dispute can be mediated. There is an economic aspect of it, though, and that is, if you have a case that involves, let's say, $5,000 in dispute, it makes no economic sense to spend $3,000 for a half a day to get the mediator to help you decide. So a lot of it is driven by economics. That's really kind of the threshold, but almost any dispute can be resolved in mediation.
On the financial risk aspect and assessing that and moving forward, can it be applied a decision tree, some type of finance model to say, okay, this makes sense, this does not, let's move forward from a financial standpoint, or it's not worth moving forward, or the risk of moving forward?
Right. Now, when you say moving forward, we're really talking about the alternative to agreeing to a settlement. The agreement is one that has to make sense to both parties. It's like any endeavor in the financial world, any deal that is made, it has to make sense given what the alternatives to that settlement might be. So very often, for example, in a litigated case, I will take the parties through an analysis of what is your best possible outcome, what is your worst possible outcome, apply what the costs of obtaining those outcomes might be through trial. And I generally will let the attorneys tell their clients, this is our best possible outcome. I don't want to be the one imposing this is what I think is going to happen. Because as I explain to people, I don't have a pipeline to God. I have a lot of experience. I don't have a seer's view of this is how it's going to turn out. So there's an analysis that has to go on where you compare your best and worst alternatives to getting a settlement. You figure in the cost, and I guide them through. Mediation is basically coaching a negotiation. And so sometimes you have to guide people through the cost, the thought process that you need to make a decision. And that's really the value of mediation, as far as what you are getting out of the mediator, the ability to guide you into a decision that makes sense. There have been times when we've done that cost analysis and a decision tree analysis, as you referred to it, and you find out that what's being offered is actually a better monetary result than the investment you would have to make into a trial or arbitration, and you come out much better off. And so does the other side. So it's win-win. That's what we shoot for.
The finance side of mediation. I'm chatting with Len Levy of ADR Services, and this is the Anderson Files on podclips.io. Len, to continue, can you give us an example or two of where you know, a mediation was very effective and a circumstance of a case without, you know, divulging the names, of course, to protect the innocent?
Certainly. There are a lot of situations. There are some that particularly stick with me. One was there were two songwriters who were in a dispute over royalties. And the dispute only arose because after many, many years of not having any royalties, the television show that they wrote the theme for was picked up on syndication and all of a sudden money came in. So they hadn't spoken to each other in years, and the attorneys advised me, don't put them in the same room because they hate each other. And the amount of controversy wasn't millions and millions of dollars, okay? So we get to the end of the mediation, and an agreement on the monetary aspect is reached, but the parties aren't leaving, which is very unusual. They usually make the deal and then they want to go home. But these folks didn't, and I sensed that there was something else that was bothering them. And I asked the simple question, when was the last time that you spoke to the person in the other room? And the attorney almost came out of his chair. Oh my God, you can't put them together. It'll kill this deal. Well, the deal was already reached. It turns out they actually did want to talk. I got them in the same room. They looked at each other and they hugged. And then as I was leaving that room, they were talking about getting together for barbecue and getting their families together. So what they were seeking in mediation was not just the monetary aspect. They were seeking closure of this dispute that was really, really bothering them.
On the other end of the spectrum, those mediations that unfold very contentious, trying to find that win-win, and are there times when it's just not possible?
There are situations like that, and they can range from the most complex business disputes to business disputes that don't involve a level of high emotion become even the more complex ones become easier to resolve than something that seems like it might be a simple dispute. For example, years ago, I mediated a case involving a woman who was involved in a traffic accident, and she injured her back to a degree that she couldn't breastfeed her baby. She was 9 months pregnant when the accident occurred. And she was so angry about that she would not even make a counter to the offer that was made by the insurance company to settle the case. And this was despite the urging of her husband, who was an attorney, and the attorney who was handling the case for her. And she just wouldn't come up with a counter. She wouldn't agree to it. After exploring some of the reasons for that, it was really, she basically needed to be angry at someone. And she didn't want to be angry at herself. She wanted to be angry at a jury who may have given her whatever amount of money. It was never going to be enough. And that case was one that resolution became nigh on to impossible, at least at that time. There are times when, you know, the Ernest and Julio Gallo, "We will sell no wine before it's time," applies to mediation. There are times when disputes are ready to be settled. There are times when disputes may not yet be ready to be settled.
Understood. And with cases that go to mediation, arbitration, litigation, I realize that the vast majority are settled in mediation, but do you have some percentages? I know the number's high, but is it really high?
Oh yeah, the number of cases that get resolved before trial. Now this is whether mediation or non-mediation. The number of cases, the percentage of cases that get resolved is somewhere around 98% to 99%. Only 1 to 1.5, maybe 2% of cases actually go to trial. And that's typically because the parties realize that the factors that I talked about earlier about cost and satisfaction of result really make it not worthwhile to take to trial.
Understood. And turning back to the financial aspect of mediation, what opportunity does mediation give the individual that litigation does not from a financial standpoint?
Well, there are certain types of cases. For example, employment cases. The laws in California essentially make it so that if you're dealing with a, for example, a wage and hour case, in a wage and hour case, the attorney's fees are going to be awarded to the employee claimant if any amount of money essentially is recovered. The other side of it is that the employer isn't going to recover attorney's fees unless the claim was brought in bad faith. And that is something that provides a great incentive to the employer to say, okay, look, it is going to cost me $100,000 to defend this case. We can settle it for $50,000. Let's go there. All right. That's a very, very clear example of where parties are motivated on a financial basis.
And in a full-blown litigation, the dollars, the cost, the outcome, the fees, I see it as just a wide open box, whereas with a mediation, it could be, you know, more contained and defined, where you can put pencil to paper and say, okay, yeah, this is the financial risk. Is that true?
Yeah, it absolutely is. And you mentioned risk, and it's a very good observation because risk is really a factor that goes into a determination as to whether to settle on particular terms. For example, there may be people who enjoy going to Vegas and putting large sums of money on a hard eight, okay? And those people are maybe more likely to say, you know what, I'm gonna roll the dice, almost figuratively or literally, and let it be in the hands of a jury, because I think I have a really good chance of recovering, and so they'll risk it. Others are less risk tolerant, and so you may say, you know, look, there's a sure thing here. There's X number of dollars available here, and to get anything more than X, I have to invest a tremendous amount of money. Is it going to be worthwhile investing $100,000 in attorney's fees that I may or may not get back, and invest that to get $20,000 more than is being offered right now? That's a risk tolerance analysis that goes into it.
Guest, yeah. Len Levy, Esquire, talks on mediation. and this is the Anderson Files on podclips.io. Len, for a party that wants to start a mediation, what is the initial step to get it rolling? Where's the starting point?
It depends on the answer to that really depends on where they are in their in the type of and the type of dispute they're involved in. For example, if we're talking about a real estate dispute, the CAR form basically says thou shalt mediate before proceeding to either arbitration, if you've checked that appropriate box, or to litigation. So that party has to go to mediation, and if they're represented by counsel, typically what counsel will do is they'll contact either a mediator that they know or an organization like ADR Services and ask for a specific mediator that they've used in the past, or somebody with expertise in real estate if they don't know that particular mediator. So typically what will happen is the mediation will go through a convening process. Both sides will have to agree on who the mediator is going to be, and then the matter will be booked, and we'll just proceed. In a litigated case, it's very, very similar to that. But in a case that is, for example, a case that involves a family law, there are a significant number of people who start out unrepresented. And for the unrepresented, it becomes a little bit more difficult. A lot of people will just simply do online searches, or they will ask friends of theirs or attorneys that they know, is there somebody who can do a family law mediation? And there are different styles of mediation. You have to do a little bit of research in understanding what a particular mediator's approach might be. Are they going to be more evaluative in their approach? Are they collaborative? Practicing a collaborative law type of model? There are people, Mike, that you and I both know who have done who do collaborative law, and the collaborative law aspect of it is a very good model for people who are who seek a mediation in that context.
Len, any additional examples of notable mediations that you've been involved with that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Well, one example is the I've done what are called mass tort mediations. And mass tort mediations are not class action. Class action mediations are typically a great number of people who there's one settlement that's going to be reached. Mass tort requires an individual settlement of each case. The first one that I did is a good example. There were 68 plaintiffs, and we had to negotiate settlements for all 68. Well, it helps in that situation to have somebody who knows what they're doing process-wise, and we settle all 68 essentially in 3.5 days. So that's one that was a great cost savings to defendant, which was an international women's and men's hair product company. It saved them a great deal of money rather than trying to litigate all of those cases.
Len, as we wrap up, how can listeners contact you to learn more?
Well, one way is to go through my website, which is LenLevyMediate.com. Another is to contact me through LSLevy@ADRServices.com, or you can telephone me, 818-903-5562.
Len, thanks so much for the conversation, and I hope you'll be back as a guest in the future.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate the opportunity to talk with you and to all of your listeners.
Thank you, Daryl Wayne, engineer, Mark Allen, producer. I'm Mike Anderson, and this is the Anderson Files on podclips.io, powered by InfoGen Labs, Inc. Keep calm and keep listening.
You've been listening to the Anderson Files with Mike Anderson. Visit us at podclip.io and check on the financial box for more information on the Anderson Files.